Good morning. It is good to be together again this morning in the Lord as we continue in our worship now with the ministry of the Word. And just in case some of you didn't know, James was scheduled to preach this morning, and he called me this morning and let me know that he had some of his family that were sick and thought it would be best to stay home, you know, just in case with all that we have going on in our country. So as I've often thought this could happen at some point, I've thought, and it hasn't for 5 years. It's February of 2014. It's been 6 years. 6 years of Little Red River Bible Church. It's not happened where someone was sick and not able to come. But I've thought that could happen. So I've had this sermon in mind if one of these occasions presented themselves. And I've always had on my mind, I'm going to go back to this particular sermon and work through it and kind of update it. But you know, that's been on my mind, but I haven't actually done that till this morning. So, but I hope that it'll be a blessing. And I found it to be a blessing. In the church I originally preached it in, we were assigned texts. I mean, someone went through and kind of went through the scripture and picked out particular texts, and I was assigned this text. I mean, it was on the schedule, and I had this text on the schedule. And so when I first read the text, I thought, how can I preach a sermon from that? I often find that. We'll get to a particular section and think, you know, because when you're reading the text, a lot of times you'll read certain things, you'll just read it and go, yes, you know, kind of see it and read through, and then you just keep going. And this was one of those texts that I appreciated, but I didn't really consider much for a long time. So I pray that it'll be a blessing. We're going to be in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 40, and we'll read the text and pray and then begin. Mark 1, beginning in verse 40. And a leper came to him, and imploring him and kneeling, said to him, If you will, you can make me clean. This is Jesus he's speaking to. If you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But he went out and began to talk freely about it, and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. And people were coming to him from every quarter. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity to be together as your called out body of believers that are come together to worship you, Lord, just to be strengthened in our faith. And Father, we just pray that our time in this text this morning, we just ask that you would bless it, Father, that it would bring glory to your name. It would bring glory to the Son and to the work of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we just ask that you would work among us today as we look at the gospel, as we look at what happened to this leper in this cleansing. And Father, we thank you again for the opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So this sermon I titled, Come and Be Cleansed. Come and Be Cleansed. And on first reading of this text, I'm reading in a narrative. We know that when we read the text, we're amazed that leprosy was cleansed by this leper was cleansed. But I want to look at this text and kind of bring out four points that I think are displayed here, that are shown to us here is, why do sinners need to come to Christ? And how do sinners come to Christ? And what should a sinner expect when they come to Christ? And then what is the result of a sinner's cleansing? And so we see this leper here that approached Jesus and asked him to make him clean. this sinner approached Jesus, this leper. And when we talk about coming to Christ, we talk about Jesus Christ as being the Messiah, the Son of God, who came and put on flesh and dwelt among us, died in the place of sinners, rose again, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. But when we think about how do you come to Christ, why should someone come to Christ? Why should someone turn to Christ? When we think about that, I think there's a lot of wrong ideas. I think most of you may not have heard these ideas, but just some of the ideas that we have in our culture today, it's really a post-Christian culture, but still in our area, there's sort of like this cultural Christianity. It's sort of like a lot of the people in the area kind of grew up in church, and it's sort of part of their, the way they grew up, but it doesn't mean that much to them. But you know, over the years, I heard it all my life growing up in church, you know, just some of the ways Christ was presented. Jesus Christ, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you, and he died for you so that you can have a great life. You know, so that you can experience a great life. So Jesus loves you and wants you to have your best life now. Or how about Jesus has a plan for your life. He wants to make it, you know, he wants to make your life wonderful. He has a specific plan. So come to Christ so that he can show you what he has in store for you. Or how about do you want to go to hell, or do you want to spend eternity in heaven with your mom? You know, or, you know, those type of things. You want to escape hell? Escape eternal punishment? Or just the idea of the good folks and bad folks. Which side are you on? Do you want to be a part of the good people? The good folks that go to church? Or do you want to be part of those bad folks that don't go to church? It's that kind of cultural Christianity deal. The good folks go to church in our culture, and then, it's not necessarily so prevalent now, but say 6 years ago, it was even more prevalent than now, but the idea that the good folks go to church and the not so good folks don't go to church or something. Or how about this? I want to raise my kids in church. I don't know about all that Christianity stuff, but I want to raise my kids in church so they'll be good people. Or some may have grown up in church and just responded and said, I just want to make my parents happy. They want me to do this, so I'm going to do it. Or how about this? Just ask Jesus into your heart. Without even talking about who Jesus is. There's all these messages like this, or maybe even you grew up in church and all of your friends are doing this, so I'll do it too. You know, there's people have kind of followed Christ or sort of turned to Christ for wrong reasons and not really understood those type of things. But some of these things I've said, some's completely wrong, but you know, there's some truth in parts of those things, so. But often people are presented this type of picture. They're presented this and called on to turn to Christ. They're not told who Christ is, but they're just presented, you know, this message. Turn to Christ for this reason. Do this and you'll get this. And people have responded that way and not really understood what is happening there. And that's why you see so many kids that grew up in church that have sort of responded that later on they don't really care, but they'll tell you they're a Christian, but they don't have much interest in the things of Christ, because they've responded for a wrong reason. They've not been called to begin with at that moment, but they've responded in a wrong reason. They don't really get what occurs when people come to Christ. So why do sinners need to come to Christ? Why do they need to come to Christ? And we see it here in Mark 1:40, and a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. A sinner needs to come to Christ because of their condition apart from Christ. And it's pictured perfectly in leprosy. It's pictured perfectly in it. Because you know what leprosy is? Leprosy, it's a terrible condition. We've heard stories of it, but it's an infection that actually infects the nerves. Deep down, it infects the nerves. And then those nerves lead to no feelings in your extremities. And it leads to dying flesh. So it's like a deep infection that leads to a dying outward flesh, which they'll have big open sores, really rotting flesh, their flesh rotting on their bones. Sometimes body parts would fall off, fingers. But there's this rot that's coming from deep down inside from this infection. And it's a hideous, hideous disease. But leprosy was often considered, we see it all throughout the scripture, it was sort of looked at as a punishment for sin. We saw God directly gave leprosy to some in the Old Testament because of disobedience. They were given leprosy. We saw that with Miriam, and there were others. They were smitten with leprosy as a result of their sin. And we see a large portion of the law in Leviticus 13 and 14 deals with leprosy. Jesus had healed people previous to this in Mark. He had healed the man with the unclean spirit. He had healed some diseases. But if you'll notice here in leprosy, I mean, with leprosy, it talks of it being cleansed. So the leprosy, I believe, was given to us by God to kind of reveal our condition apart from Christ. Always spoken of as a cleansing, not something you're healed from. So leprosy was a hideous disease given to us to picture ourselves, our sin. And it was always considered a work of God if someone with leprosy was cleansed. If the leprosy went away, it was a miraculous work of God. So our condition apart from Christ is like this leper. Our sin is like the disease of leprosy, but it's even deeper. It's even worse, but it's sort of pictured in leprosy, a deep problem, a deep condition, a deep problem that's affecting ourselves. And we see in Leviticus, I'll read Leviticus 13:45, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall uncover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So he's, because of his condition, he's outside the camp. Unclean. And I just want to say to you, our condition apart from Christ is pictured in this. Like the disease of leprosy affects the very foundation of this diseased man's body, down to the foundation of the nerves. Like that, someone apart from Christ, or even all of us really, are born with sin deep down in the deepest part of our being, affecting our thoughts and desires. Like a leper, the flesh on the outside begins to decay because of the deep infection of the nerves. Like that, our flesh is decaying slowly as a result of our sins. Our flesh is decaying. We're getting older. Our flesh is decaying, and it's ultimately going to result in our deaths, every one of us. Because of it's our sin. It's sin entered the world, and death came to all men because all have sinned. So we all desperately need to come to Christ. And just a couple more texts. Matthew 15:18-19. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because of all sin. So you see, we are like the leper in that we, deep down, out of our heart come these wicked desires, these evil desires, the sins that we commit are not caused by someone else. They come from within. And we're all sinners. And death is knocking on each one of our doors because of our sin. So when we think about sinners and the sinners, I almost said what you quoted this morning. When we think about sins, when we think about sinners, with this affecting us, and we think about the picture that we see with the lepers here, when we think about it, why or how does someone in that condition come to Christ? How can someone in that condition even approach a holy Son of God? And we see in one, we see it there in 40, and a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling to him, said, "If you will, you can make me clean." So this leper that had this deep disease that was affecting his extremities, that was causing his flesh to rot, approached the Messiah, came to the Messiah and said, "If you will, you can make me clean. If you will, you can." You notice the "you can." This leper completely believed. He knew and believed that Jesus could cleanse him of the leprosy. But he also said, "If you will, if willing." He didn't presuppose or he didn't presume that Jesus had to heal him or had some obligation to heal him. He didn't think that, but he humbly came begging Jesus to cleanse him. I keep saying heal him, but to cleanse him. Apart from Christ, we're in the same state as this leper. We're in the same state, but you see the leper approaching Jesus, believing that he could be cleansed. And so apart from Christ, we're in the same type of state. We're in the same type of condition. But the leper understood his condition. He understood, he had seen his leprosy, looked at his skin and knew that he was leprous. He saw this Son of God, this Jesus who could cleanse him. He goes to Christ. But he understood his condition and is going asking that he be cleansed. So apart from Christ, we're in the same state. We need him. We're needing the cleansing. And what's interesting, when Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, just prior to the account of this account that's in Matthew, just prior, you read the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus had preached this sermon, and he was explaining the law, and he basically explained the law in a way, you know, the Pharisees believed that they were keeping the law, but Jesus explained the law in a way that it showed that everyone's guilty of breaking God's law. He said, if we are angry with someone, if we hate someone, it's the same as murdering them. We're murderers. If we lust in our hearts after women, we're the same as adulterers. We've broken God's law. So Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, just prior to this account in Matthew, shows us that we're all in the same condition of this leper. We're lawbreakers. We've broken the law deeply. We've broken the perfect law of God. And it's interesting that he spells out how we've all sinned. We've all broken God's law. And then he gives the account of the cleansing of the leper just after in Matthew. So he's showing that we're all guilty of breaking the law. And then he shows us that we all need the cleansing like this leper had. We all need it. So we see this leper understood his condition. And he approached Christ humbly, asking that he be cleansed. Also, we see it in the tax collector as someone approaching God. How does a sinner approach God? And we see in Luke 18:10-14, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." He's praying to God and thanking him that he's not like these sinners, basically. That's not the way a sinner approaches God. This man doesn't even realize that he's a sinner. But we see it in the tax collector in verse 13. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So we see the way a sinner comes to Jesus is to first see that they're a sinner. They recognize that they're a sinner, understanding their condition. Understanding that they're an unclean sinner. Same way this leper understood that he was an unclean leper. And they approach Jesus humbly, realizing their condition, not presuming they're owed anything but God, but submitting to his will and believing that he can cleanse us. So it's seeing your condition. Like the leper could see his skin, we see that we are sinners. We've broken God's law. We come to Christ humbly, asking for mercy, believing that Christ can cleanse us of all our sins. So that's the way sinners approach Christ, as sinners asking for forgiveness. And then, so if a sinner comes to Christ like this, seeing their sin, asking for forgiveness, what would a sinner expect? What can they expect coming in this manner? We read it in 41 through 42. So he said, if you will, you can make me clean. And then Jesus responds, where he was moved with pity. He stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. So here we see Jesus moved with pity, with compassion on this leper. He was moved to compassion by the helpless state of the leper. In the same way, I believe that he is moved by repentant sinners. It's a glorious thing to God, I believe, when sinners see their sin. Holy Spirit works in their hearts. They see their sin and they turn to Christ. When helpless sinners who are slaves to sin, who are blinded, were originally blinded to their condition, are suddenly awakened to their condition, and they see themselves, they see the disease, they see the leprosy, they see the sin. They see themselves for the way they truly are, and they turn to him, turn to Christ like this leper, or like the tax collector. We can see how Christ responds. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him. Stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I will be clean. Think about that. Jesus reached out his hand and touched this leper. Think of the leper. He's been living outside the city, unable to go into the city. If anybody approached, he had to cover his lip and say, unclean, unclean. Probably not been touched in years, and here this leper is touched, and the leprosy left him. We see Jesus says, he touched him and he said, I will be clean. You see, Jesus had the authority to cleanse by his word. By his word, this leprosy left. And when we see ourselves the way we truly are and humbly turn to Christ, begging for mercy, asking to be cleansed, we can trust, when a person does that, we can trust and know that Jesus Christ has pity on repentant sinners, and he will reach out and touch us and cleanse us of all our sins, and he has the power, the authority to do that when repentant sinners turn to Christ. And the results of that sin are taken away. So immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. So I just want to look at what were the results of the cleansing. We see it in 43 and 44. Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." So we see here Jesus, the leprosy left him and Jesus gave him a stern charge. He sternly charged him. And when we think about what the stern charge is, you know, we think about what it could be. The stern charge could be in verse 44, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for proof to them." But we see in that, you see that he commanded him to go show himself to the priest. So we see in this verse, Jesus' complete obedience to the law. He tells the leper to go do what the law requires, you know, and to show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a proof of what had occurred, what had happened to him. We see that. But Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away. So that could be the stern charge. I tend to think the stern charge was kind of like what we see in John 5:14. John 5:14 is afterward Jesus found him in the temple. This was the lame man who was healed. And afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." It's not made real clear out there what the stern charge is. And that's not really the focus of it. But Jesus spoke to him afterwards and sent him away to go show himself to the leper. But we see what did he say? He said, "See that you say nothing to anyone." He sent him away and said, "See that you say nothing to anyone." And this has always kind of driven me crazy, because what did the beggar do? So Jesus, the leprosy's left. He's been cleansed. And we see in Mark 1:45, "But he went out," the leper went out, "and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter." So did the leper obey? Did the leper obey? This is what I always notice about these texts. You know how I said I would read through this? And that's my attention's always drawn to this verse. And maybe some of you too, maybe, I don't know. But that's the way I am. I always look at that and I think, okay, this man had leprosy. He couldn't approach the city. Now he's been cleansed. And the first thing Jesus said was, "Don't tell anyone." And now we see the guy didn't listen. It says he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news of what Jesus had done. So he didn't just listen. I mean, he didn't listen. He didn't obey. But I just want to point out the disobedience of this leper, I don't think is the focal point of this account. But it always draws me to that point. But I don't think that's the focal point of the account. It's the cleansing. The cleansing is the focal point of the account, not the disobedience of the leper after he was cleansed. Did Jesus cleanse this leper because he knew that this leper was, man, this guy, if we can get him on our team, he's going to do some awesome things for God? He wasn't doing that. Jesus cleansed the leper knowing that the leper would not obey. Jesus demanded that he obey, and he didn't obey. Just remember, the Christ, Jesus, was there in the flesh and cleansed this leper. But he had not been crucified. He had not risen from the grave. He had not ascended to heaven. He had not sent the Holy Spirit. But still, I think why not obey? You cleanse leper. But we're a lot like this guy, even after we've been cleansed, are we not? But praise be to God that our being cleansed is not based upon our future obedience. Our being cleansed is not based upon our present obedience, but on our turning to Christ in our repentance and our pleading for mercy and trusting that Jesus can cleanse us. So it's not an obedience thing. It's a seeing our condition, turning and trusting in what Christ has done. What Christ has done. But also in this text, I've often, you know, I'm drawn to we're always drawn to the leper. Jesus said, don't tell anyone. He says, but he went out and began to talk freely about it. But notice the last of it. And to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. And people were coming to him from every quarter. Notice that. So Jesus could no longer enter a town. So this leper, who was unclean under the law, remember the text I read earlier, he was made to live by himself outside the gates of the city. He was unable, under the law, he was unable to approach anyone. He broke the law when he walked up to Jesus. He was unable to approach anyone. So this leper that was separated from God because of his sin approached God the Son in the flesh, asked him to be cleansed, and now he is cleansed. The leper's cleansed. He goes into the city, starts to tell everyone about what's happened. Really in disobedience. He goes ahead and tells everybody. He disobeyed the command of Jesus. So, he's inside the town cleansed. And now we see Jesus unable, because of what he did, he's unable to openly enter a town. He's out in the desolate places. And people are coming to him from every quarter. The leper's cleansed while Jesus is forced to remain outside the gates. You see that? Jesus exchanged places with him. You see the great exchange there. A leper, a hopeless leper, cleansed of his sin, while the perfect Messiah, with no sin, is now forced to live outside the gate. There's a perfect picture of the great exchange. And folks, I gotta declare to you, that's what happens when sinners come to Christ. It's already happened. Christ has taken all that sin upon himself and died in the place of sinners. When sinners come to Christ, that sin is done away with. It's been done away with. It's put on Christ. And then we have sinners that are able to enter into the presence of God, enter into the city, the holy city, and be in the presence of God, because he took that leprosy, that sin, upon himself. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, all-powerful, able to speak the world into existence, creator of this perfect law, the author of the perfect law, the perfect law of God, became a man. Though he did not have, that sin was not passed on to him. He became a man, but he was begotten by the Holy Spirit. And then he took our place, taking upon himself the curse of the law, the wrath of God, He took it upon himself. God poured his wrath out upon the Son, the wrath that we deserve. And he lived the life, when he was here in the flesh, he lived the life that God expects us to live, in perfect obedience to the law. He lived that life. That life that we don't live. But then he died the death that we deserve because we break the law. He died in our place and took upon himself our sins. But then he gives us his righteousness. So he takes our sins upon himself and then gives us our his righteousness. And it's through his death, burial, and resurrection, he conquered that death, conquered that rot for us so that we can ultimately live eternally with him. And we can live our lives now with it through his power, by having the Holy Spirit given to us. We can live our lives now actually glorifying him instead of avoiding him. And then we'll live eternally. So what are we to do? What are we to do with that? I would say to begin with, if you've not trusted, if you've not turned to Christ, see, a lot of people look at it as being like some kind of obedient, like we've got to be obedient. It's basically just seeing ourselves the way we are and trusting that he's finished the work for us. He's finished it. He's died in our place. So turning to Christ is just seeing your sin, confessing your sin to God and asking for forgiveness. But often I think we, as believers, I think often our approach to the gospel is wrong. You know, we often approach the gospel wrong, I think. Sometimes believers think of this gospel, this good news of this great exchange that's happened, as sort of something that that gets us in, and then we go figure out how to be better obedient servants than this leper was. You know, this leper went and disobeyed. So we might think of the gospel as the good news. It's something that cleanses us from our sins. And then our main thing is to get past that and then go figure out how we can obey and be better at pleasing God. But I've heard an illustration once that I think is really significant. We do want to please God. Don't get me wrong, but a lot of times we leave the gospel and then think we're to go to other things. But the illustration that I heard somewhere once in a sermon, I cannot remember who it was, but it was an illustration that the gospel, like there's this pool of water, like a pool of water, and in the water is the church and all the believers. But there's a fence around the water. And the gospel is something like what we use to get people to go through that fence. Or better illustration, you could just think about if the pool is down in here and I'm up on the ledge, and down, you know, the gospel is something we get people to jump off the ledge into the pool. And that's all it is. It's something that we just try to get people into the church and then we go on past that. But really, the truth of it is the gospel's not the edge of the pool. The gospel is the water in the pool. The gospel is everything. So it's not just a jumping off point that we just tell people to get them somewhere, but it's all of our lives are in the gospel. It's in the gospel. It's the power that enables us to live. We're no different than this leper. We didn't deserve anything. We're no different than the people all around us in this community that don't have Christ. We were all sinners in the same condition. So we weren't deserving of anything that now that we're in Christ. Christ willingly gave himself for us, so it ought to cause us to approach others with humility. But we ought to live our lives waking up every morning in this gospel. Like I said, it's the water that we're in. It's everything. So we should wake up. The gospel is the thing that powers us to live. The gospel is the thing that causes us to love God. When we really think about all that Christ did, that causes us to glorify God. We don't glorify God specifically we glorify Him because of who He is, but when we really consider all that was done in the gospel, that's the thing that powers us. That's the thing that causes us to want to live lives that are different. So we ought to wake up in the gospel. Not with an attitude that, or with an attitude that because of what God has done, I want to love God more today than I did yesterday. And cry out to God. Cry out to God for His forgiveness and presence with us. So the main thing we need to do is we want to wake up every day understanding that we've been forgiven, praising God for what He's done, love others in the same way. And if someone is here that's not believed and not heard the gospel, not completely trusted in Christ, all it is understanding that you're a sinner, seeing that Christ died for sinners, repent, turn from your sin and turn to Him. And trust in His finished work. Trust completely in what Christ has already accomplished for your sake. And then you go and live out of that. Live out of what He's done. So as we think about this, if someone has not believed, you basically approach Christ in the same way this leper did. Understanding that you're dead in your trespasses and sins. And you basically call out to God like the leper or the tax collector did, saying, God, I am unclean. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And trust in the work that Christ did on your behalf on the cross. It's His shed blood that cleanses us, and it is only by faith in Him that we can be saved. So I just beg of you, if you've not, cry out to Him. Ask Him to cleanse you. And then if you believe the gospel, I think you should put that on public display in baptism. I think that's perfectly displayed here. When you see Him command the leper to go show the priest. You know, he basically just said, now, we're not priests here, I'm just saying, but he said, go and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, what? For a proof to them. I think that's what we do in baptism. So if you've not been baptized, I would encourage you to reach out to us. If you've trusted in Christ, we do a public profession of that trust by our water baptism. It's a confession of what He has done, the cleansing that He has accomplished. So I hope that this message has been a benefit to you, and I cannot help but be moved when I consider all that Christ has done for us. We're just like that leper. Just like that leper, with sins affecting us deeply, yet He willingly reached out and touched us and cleansed us by taking upon Himself the sins that we deserve punishment for. And it's a glorious, glorious thing. So may God bless His word.